1991.
Welcome to episode 2 of season 1, the 90s.
American Timelines.
American Timelines. This episode will cover 1991.
The wonderful 1991.
1991 was a great year.
I'm Amy, by the way.
And I'm Grover Cleveland.
No,
Steamer.
That's Joe.
I'm Joe.
Yes.
Grover Cleveland Steamer.
No.
This is 1991.
Tell me about some of the things about 1991, honey.
1991. Let's see some of the crazy things. Number one, you graduated high school in 1991. Am I correct?
I did.
I started playing football, and my freshman year, our team was the SLL, the Suburban Lakes League champions in football. We were like 8-2. The best team ever, and everybody's like, all these little guys. My coach used to say, we're not only small, but we're slow, too.
All right. What else?
You don't care about football? So I was a freshman. I was just entering high school. Amy was just finishing high school.
Yes.
So those of you who have problems with an older lady dating a younger man, deal with it.
That's right.
Amy is really old, and I'm really young and gorgeous.
That's right.
And she looks like one of the Golden Girls.
All right. What else happened?
I would gladly bang. I'm kidding. You're beautiful. You're
very thank you, honey. Beautiful, honey. Thank you.
But you're like the same age as Tammy Zatoa.
All right.
Who was a senior when I was a freshman. Okay, 1991. You want me to name some other people that were in my at Northwood High School?
What else occurred in 1991?
You're getting mad. Because I mentioned Tammy Zatoa one time. She gets mad.
1991.
We need to give credit where credit is due. Some of our info comes straight from popculture.us.
1991.
Politics, the USSR dissolved in 1991.
That's a big deal.
Did you know that? Mikhail Gorbachev resigned. Boris Yeltsin took leadership in Russia. I remember
drank
that.
A lot of vodka. Yeah.
I recall that.
I do. Because it was a big deal because all the maps were wrong. All of our classroom maps said USSR up in that big region, and then they had to recall all of them and put it back to Russia. It
seems like that took forever. Yeah. I don't know if that ever happened in Northwood. I think they're still looking.
They still say USSR.
Probably. That's my cousin. He teaches there. Top song of the year was Bryan Adams. You want to guess what song?
Oh, God, no.
You know it's true.
Oh, God, yes.
Everything I do.
I do it for you.
That was from a movie, though, wasn't it?
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood. That's what I thought.
Yes.
Or The Three Musketeers.
No, it was definitely Robin Hood.
Didn't he do a song for Three Musketeers?
My friend Chris
too?
Worked at the movie theater, and we
I thought you worked at the movie theater.
I did, too, but this was a different. This was a classy movie theater he worked at.
Chris Cudahy?
Yep.
I love Chris Cudahy. Shout out to Chris Cudahy if you're listening. Call in. Call into the show, Chris.
Call in. All right, what else happened?
Okay. Hello, Chris Cudahy. Big movies that year were Terminator 2, Robin Hood, just like we were talking about, which is the song from that song is from that movie. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, starring Angelina Jolie and Kevin Costner.
Angelina Jolie was in that?
No. I'm just making it up. Robin Hood was, who was it, Brad Pitt? I don't know.
No, it was Kevin Costner.
No.
Yeah, it was.
I'm pretty sure
it was Kevin Costner.
He was in Robin Hood, too?
I think he was. He was in everything.
I got to Google that. That can't be Kevin Costner. Beauty and the Beast was the other big one. I guess that was the cartoon version of Disney. There's no way Robin Hood was Kevin Costner. It had to be
was in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, great. We're doing a voice thing.
Well, I can't type
now. It's got to be like Nicolas Cage or something. Please don't tell me that was Kevin Costner.
It was. It was right.
It was Kevin Costner?
Yep. He's on the movie poster.
And Robin Hood?
Robin Hood, Prince
Who
of Thieves.
Who did he play?
Robin Hood.
Oh.
And Alan Rickman played the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Who played Friar Tuck?
I'm done with my phone right now.
Who played Friar... Was Friar Tuck? Isn't that Robin Hood's assistant?
Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Friar Tuck?
Yeah. Yep, you're right.
Those are the, I am?
Mm-hmm.
Boom, I know everything about Friar Tuck.
I can't believe you guessed Kevin Costner and then it was
I wasn't trying. I was joking.
I know.
Was actually making a
That's
joke that it was
believe.
Kevin Costner. I didn't think it really was.
It was.
I'm so stupid.
Yep.
Remember that bar called Friar Tuck's in Chicago?
All right, keep going.
God damn.
1991.
Minimum wage in 1991. Do you want to guess what it was?
I think I know because I put that paper together.
Oh, idiot. I actually remember because I got my first job around this time.
So
this is what it was when I started minimum wage at Murray's Auto Parts on Woodville Road in Northwood.
Okay,
I was getting paid $4.25 an hour.
That's right.
Yep.
That ain't nothing.
What is it now?
It's 8 something.
I thought I moved up to 10.
It depends. It might depend on where you live.
Boy, 425 an
hour. We're very lucky that we don't know.
A mysterious hum started being heard by many, not all, residents in Taodao, New Mexico.
Yes, I looked this up because I thought that was really cool. So,
I've never heard of that.
So it was this strange hum that it turned out it was only like 2% of the population that heard it. But if there's, you know, I mean, that's still a lot of people.
Not if there's four people.
Oh, that's true. But
that's one guy.
And they ruled out tinnitus, and they ruled out like machinery and anything like from factories or anything around
it
that was atmospheric.
It started being heard, and
yeah.
It's been heard from now on.
Like it's been heard, yeah, off and on ever since. They don't know what it is, though. They still haven't figured it out. Some people say it could be like psychological, like a mass hysteria type thing.
Wow.
But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Never heard of that.
Well, they talk about how they weaponize sound, like our country weaponizes sound during riots and stuff.
Yeah, you heard about that whole thing with the Cuban, everybody's deaf that was in that hotel. You heard about that?
No.
Just came out this past year.
No.
Cuba. A lot of, there's a whole group of American people that were staying in Cuba, and the Cuban government deafened everyone. You
oh, my God.
That?
No.
Oh, that's like eight different dudes from the United States government are deaf and have hearing.
How did they deafen people?
It's some kind of frequency that they blasted, they weaponized.
And you couldn't hear it? It was like subconscious or something?
Yeah, it was while they were sleeping. They woke up the next
day.
Oh,
my God. That's bizarre.
You didn't hear about that?
No,
I
gotta look that up now.
Man. I know.
I don't watch the news. I just stopped. Donald Trump has made me stop watching. I can't. I really can't.
Robin Leach made you stop doing that.
I cannot. It's
isn't that weird?
Depressing.
A guy from Robin Leach, Lifetimes of the Rich and Famous, is now the president.
Yep.
Sex on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
It makes me physically ill.
1991.
The World Series champions in 1991 were the Minnesota Twins. Kirby Puckett is the big hero, just so you know.
Oh,
Kirby
okay.
Puckett of Minnesota. I only know that because I'm a Vikings fan.
That's
but
right.
They were talking about the other day when that miracle catch happened. That has surpassed the greatest thing ever is Kirby
Puckett.
Kirby Puckett.
Now it
hasn't. Hitting a home run. And the Super Bowl champions that year were the New York Giants. They beat probably the Buffalo Bills because they were there like 4 years in a row. But the NFC Championship game was epic because we watched. Oh, I just said epic. It's epic. I hate it when people
say
that.
I do too.
It was of epic proportions. I like saying
that
better. Because they beat Joe Montana. And I remember being up north at the cottage, and all of us kids hated Joe Montana. We're sick of him. And we're like, yeah, die Joe Montana. We loved watching him getting crushed. And my grandma felt bad for him because everybody was knocking him. So she stood up for him and was like, I'm rooting for Joe Montana for the rest of this game.
1991.
On January 8th of 91, a 16-year-old high school student named Jeremy Wade Dell shot himself in front of his English class.
Oh, my God.
The event became the inspiration for the Pearl Jam song, Jeremy.
Jeremy Spoken. I love that song. Yeah, that was right around this time. All right.
That's why he wrote about that. I didn't know that was a true thing.
I didn't either.
Oh, man. And that again, we're back to this thing about, you know, there's a school shooting every single day nowadays, and we hear about it, and we all know about it, but it was happening then. We just never heard.
We just didn't hear as much.
So it did happen. The New York Appellate Court ruled that a person can break their real estate purchase contract if they discover that they have unwittingly bought a haunted house.
I love that.
That's cool.
I think that is hysterical.
I know you always.
I want to look up like who has successfully gotten out of a contract or what case started that.
Yeah, you're the only woman I ever met. We've bought two houses together, and you like, have said several times at closings of a house that it. Somebody is legally required to tell you if somebody died in the house. Like, you looked a lawyer and a real estate agent in the eye and said, "What is it in the paperwork? Did anybody die in that house?" And they looked at you like you're an idiot. And you said, I understand it's legally required for somebody to tell you if somebody died in the house.
No, if somebody was murdered in the house.
Somebody's murdered.
Or it was a haunted house.
Is it haunted? because if somebody died there, it's haunted. Is it in the paperwork anywhere? Where's the haunting clause? I'm married to a wackadoodle.
What's next?
Kentucky Fried Chicken officially changed its name to
KFC.
They changed its name to KFC. conspiracists claim that
I still call it Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't go there. I don't know the last time I went there.
It's not
there.
Called Kentucky Fried Chicken?
No, it's KFC.
It's just KFC?
It's, yeah, since 91.
Conspiracists claim that it was because they weren't selling actual chickens, but some kind of cloned headless chicken bodies.
I remember those stories.
The original name was shortened, so it would be no longer be false advertising, according to them. That might be right. Yeah. I believe that.
That it's not chickens?
Yeah, I could see how it's probably some other thing.
Gross.
Some other bird or dog or cat.
Yuck.
It's friggin' delicious, though, man. But it's no Chick-fil-A. I have to say,
yeah,
I underestimated the people of the South. I didn't know.
They didn't know about Chick-fil-A.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A is delicious.
It's freaking life-changing.
It is.
I mean, they are delicious. Nazis who kill all gays, and I still buy from them because it's so delicious.
I know, it's sad.
I'm sorry.
They have no morals.
Maybe they're not that bad, but I don't care what they do, honestly.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. Just keep giving me that chicken and that delicious sauce. Do whatever.
I know.
I don't care.
It's awesome.
1991.
Comedian Red Fox suffered a fatal heart attack on the set.
Oh, man.
I didn't know that happened while on the set. No one came to his aid because they all thought
he was doing his
Elizabeth.
Classic,
I'm coming, Elizabeth.
Yep.
Fake heart attack routine from Sanford and Son. Red Fox was the greatest.
Yeah, he was.
He was very funny.
He was hysterical.
You fat bitch. You blind motherfucker. Maurice Kraft, a French volcanologist. Volcanologist, volcano expert.
Yeah.
Was filmed saying, I am never afraid because I have seen so many eruptions in 23 years that even if I die tomorrow, I don't care. He was killed during an eruption the very next
Jeez.
Day, June 3rd, 1991, alongside his wife on Mount Unzen in Japan.
What? So he had to just go up to volcanoes while they were erupting all the time?
Yeah, for 23 years.
Jeez.
Apparently.
Why would you pick that job?
He was a volcanologist, man.
I thought at first demand. That you meant somebody that likes Star Trek.
Vulcans? That's what I should say. Volcanoologist.
Volcanoologist?
Volcanologist. Volcanoologist.
1991.
Oh, remember last episode we had an airplane celebrity death?
Yes.
We have another one every year. Apparently there's an airplane celebrity death.
Who died in an airplane?
1991's airplane celebrity death is Senator John Hines.
He's a celebrity?
Yeah, he was covered in Heinz ketchup.
Man.
On the airplane.
Died on the airplane.
That's the celebrity death. You know, every time I'm on an airplane, I always wonder, if this goes down, is there any celebrities on board? That'll be the celebrity death.
You always think that?
Yeah.
1991.
Bill Gates borrowed a business book in 1991 called Business Adventures by John Brooks. And he borrowed it from Warren Buffett. And he never returned it. What an asshole. Warren Buffett still pissed.
It's so newsworthy.
Apparently this website is run by Warren Buffett, and he's still pissed about that book.
He's like, I'm putting that in here, God damn it.
Damn it. Return my book. in the Super Bowl, 1991, Super Bowl XXV,
mm-hmm.
which is 25, right?
Yeah.
Right? New Kids on the Block were the halftime show.
Oh, and they were.
Oh, this was the first time that
they replaced the marching band.
Yeah, that it wasn't. It used to be marching bands, and this is the first year it was a pop rock music performance. New Kids on the Block was the first one.
That's right.
And now we have Pink and all these other jackasses and Bruno Mars and all that crap and the boob. Like
the
little,
boob gate.
Little do they know that New Kids on the Block would lead to the boob.
To the boob gate.
The boob halftime show.
That's right.
There should be more halftime shows with boobs. the XFL's coming back. Did you hear about
I
that?
I did hear about that.
Speaking of boobs at the Super Bowl, every halftime show is just going to be a porno.
Stripper. Oh, porno.
Just a giant porno.
I thought you were going to do stripper. You went full-blown porno.
Just a porno.
1991.
Marshall Ledbetter blockaded himself in the Florida State Capitol building and demanded, among other things, a large Gumby's pizza, weed, 666 donuts, $100 worth of Chinese food, and a phone call with Ice Cube. He was caught with none of his demands met.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Except for the call.
The phone call for it with Ice Cube.
Oh, that's the best part of it.
Yep, it is.
Ice Cube. As soon as I said that, I want a phone call with Ice Cube. I want some weed.
It reminds me of that.
I want a gummy
there's
pizza.
There's a scene in that. What's it called? Quick Change? Or it's a Bill Murray movie.
Yeah.
Where he's a criminal. And at the beginning, he does that.
I want 666 donuts.
Just trying to be.
$100 worth of Chinese food. Do you think he asked for $100 worth of Chinese food, or he just said, I want some Chinese food. I want egg foo young.
He named everything on the menu.
I want 25 egg foo young.
I want 12 poo-poo platters.
I want just
Keeps going.
It costs $100. And then get Ice Cube on the phone.
1991.
A man found a first printing of the Declaration of Independence inside the frame of a $4 painting he'd bought at a flea market in Adamstown, PA. It sold at auction for $2.4 million.
Oh, my God. What a lucky dude that was.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's some Antiques Roadshow shit.
The main villains of the movie Psycho from 1960, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974, and The Silence of the Lambs of 1991 were all loosely based on the same person.
Yes.
Wisconsin serial killer Ed Gein.
Gein. That's how you say it.
Oh, gynecologist is not spelled right? Yep. Ed Gein. Silence of the Lambs won the Big Five Oscar Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Writing. For Kevin Costner was the lead.
No.
Kevin Costner was all those parts. He directed it. he was all the actress. Things. He wrote it.
I think it was like one of the few times ever that they won. They swept it. They swept the Oscars.
Must have been. Kevin Costner's one talented man. Yeah. And he also starred in Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That's right. All of those. Andy was Ed Gein.
Maybe we should just do a Kevin Costner podcast.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
A Kevin Costner appreciation cast.
I barf too much.
I barf from happiness. only three films that have won all the five awards.
Yeah.
Those films, only three films won. You said it was really rare, spouting off of the mouth like you know.
Well, the only three other films have ever won it.
Ever, and they were, you want to guess them?
No.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 1975. Of course, Silence of the Lambs, 1991. And the first one was It Happened One Night, 1934. Liz Taylor married hubby number seven, Larry Fortensky, at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
They met at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch,
and they met in a rehab center.
Nice.
Or it would be better if they met at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch and got married.
Yeah, the rehab center, that would.
Yep, Liz Taylor is the best.
Yep.
I remember that all over the cover of, like, People magazine and stuff. And why, like, what's Michael Jackson's deal? I'm going to hang out with Brooke Shields, Webster, and
I know
Liz Taylor.
Well, what was his deal? That was the least of his worries.
Yeah, but just like the random things about him were crazy.
Yeah.
I hope he never raped anyone.
Yeah, me too.
Cost of the Super Bowl ad in 1991. Yo, that's what all anyone cares about.
It's
going
to be similar to 1990.
The cost of a Super Bowl ad in 1991. Everyone's so excited. Are you ready? $800,000.
Bargain. You can't afford not to.
It's $5 million these days, yeah. Y'all. Because everybody watches the Super Bowl. $5 million. I think it was $700,000 in 90. So that's a big jump.
Yeah, it is.
In 1 year. Cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev. Krikalev?
I don't know.
Launched into space as a Soviet citizen, but returned to Earth as a Russian citizen.
Oh, because he was up there.
Yeah, he was in orbit when the Soviet Union dissolved on December 26, 1991. He also had three scrotums.
It does not say that.
He may have, though. He probably did.
You don't know.
Some people have three scrotums.
1991.
Unsung hero. Tim Berners-Lee came up with the idea of making links on his own computer, then others creating the information mine, called TIM, later renamed the World Wide Web. Wow. He renounced patent rights because it would have scuppered the whole thing. It would have never taken off.
Wow, that was nice of him.
Tim Berners-Lee created the damn internet.
And Al Gore always takes credit for it.
Al Gore, he probably killed Tim Berners-Lee.
Yeah, he probably did.
Old TBL. The cool kids were listening to Nirvana's Nevermind album.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorites.
I still listen to that a lot.
I got it as part of one of my BGM record deals or whatever they used to call.
Remember those? Yep. You could join them, and you could literally get...
You get like 25 CDs for the price of like three.
For a penny.
Yeah.
And then you just quit.
Right.
And then you join it a couple weeks later, and you do it again.
Yeah, like, that's right.
You just quit, and there was no rule. Like,
you had to buy like three.
At a time.
But you could join again with a different name, and they wouldn't even know.
Yeah, you just quit and then join again. Like, it didn't matter. Like, they totally screwed that up. No wonder they went out of business.
Yeah. What was the other one? It was BGM.
BMG.
BMG. And what was the other one, the bigger one?
Oh, God. Oh, I joined those, too. We got so many CDs.
God, I don't remember the name of the bigger one.
BMG. And what was the other one? God.
We'll have to look it up.
Anyway. That's where you got that album.
Yep.
Yeah, that was good. Very good album. Yeah. My band in high school, we sang one of their songs. We sang Weather Lights Out, This mm-hmm. Last Night. That smells like Teen Spirit. But I think some of the secondary songs were better.
Yeah.
Matt Rock is the greatest guitarist of all time.
1991.
Jason Alexander threatened to quit Seinfeld in the third season.
Oh.
After the table read of The Pen, which features only Jerry and Elaine. Alexander pulled Larry David aside and said, if you write me out again, do it permanently. In 9 seasons, that was the only episode he wasn't in.
Oh.
Man.
Yeah, that pissed. It took some balls.
1991's most popular gifts.
Oh, let's hear them.
Sega Game Gear, Super Nintendo Entertainment Systems, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys and action figures, Rollerblade Barbie.
I remember her.
You really do?
Oh, yeah. I loved Rollerblade Barbie.
You were too old, honey.
I know. You're right. I still love Barbies.
High school.
I still love Barbies.
You were on your way to college and you were playing Barbies?
I wasn't playing with the Barbies, but like my cousins had Barbies and I remember the commercials for the Barbies.
Oh. So you like
I admired them from afar.
You didn't play with Rollerblade Barbie?
I never played with Rollerblade Barbie, but I remember the commercial and I remember enjoying it.
This is when Super Soakers were big. Super Soaker Water Gun. Kinex. And Myst, M-Y-S-T, I'm not sure what that is, but mm-mm. I remember my cousins, I think, had Kinex. Like, it was like Lego.
Yeah, they still
like
make Kinex.
But Kinex. Video games, this is when Sonic the Hedgehog came out.
That was big.
Something called Lemmings, I don't know what that is, but Sonic the Hedgehog, I remember, that's when I realized I'm not good at video games. I just can't. I can never get past the second level. I'm just like, it's too hard. Like, where's Pac-Man? Even that was hard. I suck at them. So frustrating. Like, why do I want to be frustrated? I want to spend my time being frustrated.
I hated all those video games, too.
I'm not good at them. God, I just remember like throwing the controller all the time and crying.
Yeah, that's
like,
where Henry gets it.
Yeah, I do that.
All right, what's next?
1991.
The big movies. 1991. Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
That was a good movie.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Blech.
We already talked about that. Starring Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Also, who's also in Terminator 2 Judgment Day?
No.
Beauty and the Beast, starring Kevin Costner's voice as all the characters.
Yep.
Silence of the Lambs.
One of my favorite movies.
Starring Kevin Costner.
I love that movie. You haven't seen that movie, have you?
You made me watch like 25 times.
Oh,
I
did.
I'm sick of it, and I never liked it.
We're watching it again tonight.
I'm not watching it ever again.
Damn it, we're watching it tonight.
City Slickers, starring Kevin Costner.
City Slickers.
And Hook. I saw City Slickers, I think, in the movie.
Yeah.
Around this time, my parents had gotten divorced a couple years before that, and my dad would take us to movies. Like, on the weekends, we were with my dad.
So
like,
you always saw him.
And he just didn't know what else to do, so we had to see stupid movies my dad wanted to see. So he wanted, let's go see City Slickers.
That's right.
Let's go see it. It was all right, but
yeah,
it was great. And Hook. Did I say Hook already?
Yes.
Starring Kevin Costner. 1991, most popular TV. 60 Minutes. God, what a great show. Roseanne.
I love Roseanne.
Sometimes with 60 Minutes, I play with my Morley Safer action figures from 60
All
Minutes.
All right, keep going.
Roseanne on ABC.
Yep.
Murphy Brown, mm-hmm. CBS.
Yes.
That's supposed to be coming back, too. Murphy Brown
coming
back.
Oh, yeah, that's
back.
Right.
So is Roseanne. Cheers on NBC. Now, I want that to come back.
Yeah.
Cheers. Home Improvement and Designing Women.
I never was into Home Improvement.
Well,
I never understood
Tim,
it.
Yeah, Tim.
Tim Allen.
Killed a man in Detroit or something.
Yeah.
Designing Women, who's on crack. It was a crack salesman. Designing Women, I never liked. So.
I always liked them.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I loved that show.
Designing Women?
Yeah, it was great.
God, I never.
Dixie Carter was the bomb. She always had like a speech that was real sassy and get to the point. She was awesome.
It was just, I had nothing to.
Really, why would you like it?
Yeah, I guess why would I like it? Designing Women, I never cared about that show. On that lineup with Designing Women was the 9:30. That night, there was two guys with mustaches, Evening Shade, and Major Dad.
Yes, that's right.
Something else in Designing Women. I can't remember.
But Empty Nest.
Empty Nest and Designing Women.
Isn't
I think so,
it?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny that we remember that?
Empty Nest I was into.
Oh.
That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Well,
now go into your stupid bullshit, whatever it is.
On July 22nd, 1991.
Yeah.
There were these two police officers in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they were driving around.
Let's set the scene. July 22nd.
1991.
On the radio was Brian Adams.
Yep.
Jesus Jones, right here, right now.
Oh, yeah.
Or EMF's Unbelievable.
And so the cops are driving around. This is a high crime area in Milwaukee, and it was real hot that night. Around midnight, as they're in their car, they see this short, little wiry black man with a handcuff dangling from his wrist. And
just walking?
No, he's running. He's and running. They assume that he's escaped from another policeman, so they ask him what he was doing. And he starts to pour out this tale about this weird dude who put this cuff on him in his apartment, and this man turned out to be 32-year-old Tracy Edwards. They thought, oh, it's just some gay couple being weirdos, like they used to think back then.
Right.
And
They
thought they ought to check out this man that had cuffed Edwards, who lived at the Oxford Apartments at 924 North 25th Street. The door to apartment 213 was opened by this nice-looking 31-year-old blonde man. He was very calm and rational and offered to go get the key to the handcuffs that were in his bedroom. And then Edwards remembered that the knife that he was threatened with was in the bedroom. So he starts saying, don't let him go in there. The knife's in there. And so one of the officers decides to go in the bedroom himself and notices a bunch of photos lying around that contain pictures of dismembered human bodies. Skulls in the refrigerator. When he got himself together after he peed himself, probably, he yelled to his partner to cuff the man and place him under arrest.
Holy crap.
This man that was at first this rational man suddenly turns on him and fights off the one cop. The other's trying to cuff him, and then when the one subdues him, the other one goes to the refrigerator and opens it.
That's right. I remember this from the movie.
Loudly at the face that's staring out at him. And he slams the door and yells, there's a fucking head in the refrigerator.
A fucking head in the refrigerator. So I was going to stay home tonight on Monday night and watch Evening Shade, Major Dad, right. Murphy Brown, and Designing Women, which were on that night.
So
we're talking about that. But no, now there's a head in the fridge.
They arrest him, and they go through the apartment, and they see it's a small one-bedroom flat, and it was neat and clean, especially for a bachelor. And his pet fish were very well cared for. The fish tank was clean. But the smell of decomposition was overwhelming, which is why I...
But not till they opened the fridge?
No, I guess it was always there. But to me, police should know what that smell is. The freezer had three more heads in it, stored neatly in plastic bags. And then there's a door that leads to the bedroom closet and bath, which had been outfitted with a deadbolt lock. So this reporter that was on the scene said that in the back of the closet there was a metal stock pot that contained decomposed hands and a penis.
Ugh.
And on the shelf above the kettle were two skulls. Also in the closet, containers of ethyl alcohol, chloroform, and formaldehyde, along with some glass jars holding male genitalia preserved in formaldehyde.
Why? What was he going to do with those?
Polaroid photos taken by Dahmer at various stages of his victims' deaths. So, obviously, this is about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
This was 1991. One of the Polaroids showed a man's head with the flesh still intact lying in a sink. Another showed a victim cut open from the neck to the groin like a deer gutted. Some of them were his victims before murdered in various erotic and bondage poses. The police, the county medical examiner, the media, families of the missing young men, the entire city of Milwaukee, and the whole world tried to understand what had really happened in apartment 213.
Yeah, we're
Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer was an American serial killer and a sex offender. He murdered 17 men and boys between 1978 and 1991.
Now, he was a known sex offender before he murdered them?
Yes. The majority of the murders occurred between 1987 and 1991.
Wait, where did this happen? Wisconsin?
Yes.
Where in Wisconsin?
Milwaukee. So his murders involved rape, dismemberment, necrophilia, and cannibalism. He was born in West Allis, Wisconsin. Joyce Annette and Lybel Herbert Dahmer, who was an analytical chemist. And he had a brother named David.
He was okay. What's going on with him?
So Jeffrey was a normal child. He had a hernia at one point that...
Oh, that explains it.
They said his personality changed after that.
Really?
He got real withdrawn and uncommunicative.
Because of his hernia?
I guess.
A hernia does that?
And he didn't have any interest in hobbies or social interactions.
It's that damn hernia.
He biked around his neighborhood looking for dead animals, which he dissected at home or in the woods near his home. In one instance, he put a dog's head on a stake. So there's some early warning signs going on here.
Because of that hernia.
When he went to high school, he was an outcast. He became kind of a cult figure among some of his classmates.
He was Andre 3000.
No, I don't. He was
an outcast.
He began drinking in his teens. He was an alcoholic by the time his high school graduation.
You said he was an outcast, but he started what? Getting a following?
He started getting a cult following because he would make fun of his mother's interior decorator who had cerebral palsy.
That's how you get a cult following?
I guess. That's what it says. That's what I read.
Oh, great guy.
So then his parents divorced in 77. He went to Ohio State University but dropped out after one quarter.
Oh, he's an Ohio State and a Packer.
That's right.
Fan.
So one night, he was in 1978. He was driving back to his mother's when he picked up a hitchhiker named Stephen Hicks. The two of them go back to Jeffrey's to drink some beer and smoke some pot, and that seems that Jeff must have really liked Steve, because when Hicks said that it was time to he headed home, Dahmer decided he didn't want his new friend going anywhere, so he picked up a weightlifting dumbbell and struck Hicks in the back of the head and then strangled him. He then dragged the body into the crawl space under the house, where it stayed for a few days. Eventually, the smell became strong, so he went down and cut the remains into pieces, placing them in small plastic bags, and then threw the bags in the bushes behind the house.
That's how it started.
Yeah. After a while, he began to worry about the neighborhood kids digging up the remains, so he dug them up and smashed the bones into pieces, which he scattered around the woods. So that was his first kill. And then over the next 9 years, he was able to control any urges to kill again.
So the 70s was his first kill.
Yeah.
Huh? So for
and then in 9 years, he didn't do any. So he joined the United States Army for shortly. He lasted only a couple of years because he...
I forgot to ask, did you kill any dudes?
Yeah.
And chop them up into pieces?
Well, his alcoholism made him drop out. And then after his military career ended, he decided he was a homosexual. And became a regular at Milwaukee's gay bars. He was arrested for flashing his penis at two 12-year-old boys in a park and then masturbating.
Well, that's standard now.
Yeah,
that's
really.
Every actor in Hollywood does that.
Apparently.
Now.
He was placed on probation until September 9th, 1987 for the incident. And then just 6 days after his probation ended, he started killing
probation for
again.
Masturbating from children? That's all you get?
I guess.
Probation?
I know.
Don't do that again. Stop doing that.
Stop it.
Hey, guy who maybe will murder a bunch of people and eat their bodies.
Well, they don't know that
stop
yet.
Stop jacking off in front of kids.
So
that's it. They just probation.
So just 6 days after the probation ended, he starts to kill again. So on September 15th, 1987, he spent the day drinking at a gay bar named Club 219 and met up with a gay man named Steve Twomey.
Steve Twomey, y'all. It's Steve Twomey in the house.
Stop. He's a victim.
Oh, he killed him? Oh, shit. I was just like.
Chatted with each other for a few hours and eventually left together. They went to a hotel and rented a room. And
God,
then
Steve told me it was so cool.
Dahmer claims he can't remember what happened once they got to the hotel, only that he drank a lot. And he wasn't even sure if they had had sex or anything. But when he woke up, Twomey was dead. And it was like he beat him up and strangled
him.
So
he thinks he blacked out.
Yeah. After this, he went out and bought a large suitcase, which he then stuffed the body inside. He caught a taxi back to grandma's house with the suitcase with the body in it.
Back to his grandma's house?
Yeah, he lived with his grandma in the basement.
Had a suitcase with a body in
and
it.
He gets
Steve
in a, 12-0. Then he gets in a cab.
Is in his
guys, will you help me with the suitcase? Can you see that?
Steve.
That's a heavy suitcase.
Oh, it probably smells like... It's got to smell terrible.
I know. Once he gets to grandma's, he cuts up the body and puts it pieces in the garbage bags and puts it out by the curb with the rest of the day's trash.
Oh, my God.
So he didn't even...
You know somebody found that in the garbage.
I don't know.
Like, what is it? Whose foot?
Look
at his nipple.
Then on January 16th, 1988... He approached a young male prostitute named James Dockstader, who was 14.
A young male prostitute, 14-year-old male prostitute?
And he offered James money to make a video with him. So Dockstader agrees, so he took him home to...
He had to have money to make a video in 1988.
I know. So Jeff took him home to his basement room at grandma's. Then he gave him a sleeping drug, and once he passed out...
Bill Cosby style.
Yep, he strangled him once he passed out. And then he stripped the body of all his flesh using acid. And smashed up the bones with a sledgehammer.
If only he had been on picture pages, he would have got away with it.
I think that was 70s. I don't think picture pages was 90s.
No, I'm just saying, Bill Cosby got away with it.
Oh, because Big Cosby
we don't care
that
he drugs
pages.
Everybody because he was on picture pages.
That's right. That's
if he hadn't been on picture pages, he'd be in jail. But picture pages are great.
Talking about. So then on March...
That's Fat Albert.
On March 24th, 1988...
Picture pages,
stop
picture
it.
Pages.
Stop
time
it.
To get your crayons and your pencils,
stop
motherfucker.
It.
Sorry.
On March 24th, 1988, he met Richard Guerrero at a bar called The Phoenix.
Wait a minute. In 88, that's when Hacksaw Jim Duggan won the first ever Royal Rumble.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay.
Guerrero was broke.
Eddie Guerrero?
No, Richard Guerrero.
Richard
so
Guerrero.
Jeff offered him some money if he'd come back to his place to make a video. Mm. So Guerrero agrees.
Video.
Once they go back to Dahmer's apartment, they have oral sex, and then Jeff offers him a drink, and Richard accepts. Shortly after passing out, Richard was strangled, dismembered, and disposed of.
How did he dispose of him?
About this time, Grandma starts to worry about the smell coming from the basement. Because this is all when he's living at Grandma's house.
I think my grandson needs to start using deodorant. I think he's of age. I should buy him some old spice. Peggy, you wouldn't believe the smell.
She tells Lionel, Dad, he goes down and he inspects the room and he finds a black sticky residue.
Wait, who's Lionel?
He's the chemist, the dad. Jeffrey's dad,
Lionel. Oh, came over to Grandma's house.
Yeah, to inspect the room.
Lionel? It smells so bad. I talked to Peggy about it. It smells terrible. Go down there, Lionel. So he goes down and what?
He finds this black sticky residue similar to what acid does to flesh.
What's all this?
And he's a chemist, so he kind of knows. So he questions
this. What is this substance that I'm oddly familiar with as a chemist?
So he questions his son about this, and then Jeff says he was experimenting with animals.
Jeff, what are you
doing? So, Lionel never gave a shit what Jeff did.
What are you doing, Jeffrey?
He just accepted this. Didn't bother worrying about it.
I just messed with some animals, Dad.
But Grandma was done. She didn't care what he was doing. She said, get out.
So Peggy and I talked about it, and you need to go. The ladies from Bunko are going to just die when they smell. You get out of here. I can't take this anymore with the dead animals. And the Lionel, you get them out of here, Lionel.
So he gets his own place. And just 24 hours after moving into his new apartment, he was in trouble with the police. Because he, had conned a Laotian boy named Kisan Synthesamophone.
That's a fake name.
That's definitely right.
That's not. Synthesamophone.
He was 13, and he conned him into coming up to his apartment. And then once there, he drugged and molested him, but the boy escaped. So he reported to the police.
God, poor kids from Laos. They come here seeking a new life, and then Jeffrey Dahmer molests them all. Come here to USA and get molested by a Wisconsinite.
The thing that's interesting about Dahmer, too, is that almost all serial killers will only kill within their own race, and he almost exclusively killed, Asian,
Pacific, and black people.
Yeah.
So he only killed other races.
Yeah, he did.
And you said
except for the hitchhiker, the very first one was a white guy.
You say most serial killers
almost all
kill their own race only?
Yeah, that's right.
Huh. So, I wonder why that is.
So the boy reports it to the police, and he was charged with sexual assault and enticing a child for immoral purposes. And he got a week in jail before getting released on bail.
Back then, you could rape anybody.
Well, he hasn't been sentenced yet. On January 30th, 1990, he was found guilty, but sentencing wouldn't take place for another 4 months.
Molesting the child.
Yeah.
Oh.
So then, on March 25th, 1990, he met Anthony Sears.
Oh, what date?
March 25th, 1990.
Okay, we're not 91 yet. Okay.
At a gay bar. Took him back to Grandma's. Meanwhile,
Eileen Wuornos is on the loose, because that was from my last episode.
So he took his bag to Grandma's house because he assumed the police were watching his apartment. And so once there, they had sex, and afterward, Dahmer made him a drink, murdered him, decided to keep the skull as a trophy. So Grandma just can't win. He kept coming back.
I think he's at my house. I smell it, Peggy.
So then at his sexual assault and enticing a child for immoral purposes sentencing on May 23rd, he pleaded with the judge for leniency, saying he was an alcoholic and a homosexual with sexual problems. And the judge decided to sentence him to 5 years probation and 1 year in a halfway house so he could continue to work. So,
Judge. He was murdering.
So, after serving his time. Because
he's white. I bet if he was black, that wouldn't be the case.
Yep. After serving his time in the halfway house, he rented a place at Oxford Apartments, which is the infamous apartment 213.
Oh, this is where he got us.
And just 2 weeks after moving in to the infamous apartment, which has been demolished since this, obviously, he met Ray Smith at Club 219. Ray was a newcomer to Milwaukee and seemed to run into the wrong guy at the wrong time. So Jeff asked Ray back to his place to pose for some pictures. He accepted.
Is this 91 now?
No.
Oh.
Jeff offers him a drink. Ray passes out. He gets strangled. Strips the body and had necrophilic sex with it.
Oh, dead guy. Yeah.
This was the first corpse Dahmer admitted to having sex with, but it definitely not the last.
I mean, it was a fresh corpse.
So once he had that, once he did that, he dismembered the body, threw it out with the trash, all except for the skull. He kept that and painted it like silver or something.
Don't throw me out with the trash.
And preserved it, and that marked the beginning of his collection of human souvenirs. So that was the first thing he saved. On June 14th, 1990, he met Eddie Smith,
Eddie Smithfield.
Eddie readily accepted Dahmer's advances, went back to Jeff's apartment where they had oral sex. Afterward, Jeff offered Eddie a drink. So he's just a regular Bill Cosby with his drinks.
Yeah, he's Eddie basically Bill Cosby, but
Jeff strangles him.
He's Bill Cosby without the picture pages.
Well, you know, we don't know. Bill Cosby hasn't done these things. It's dismembered bodies and thrown them out.
But it's fine because he did picture pages. So, all's forgiven.
So then July 8th, 1990, he decides not to drug somebody. And he's going to try to mix it up. So he had a 15-year-old Hispanic kid posing for pictures when he picked up a mallet and tried to hit the boy in the head. The kid fought back, eventually escaped, and this kid went to the police, too.
And he was Hispanic?
Yep, but when he begged police not to
was
tell
he
his...
Was he a member of Menudo, maybe?
Well, he begged the police not to tell his foster parents he was gay, and so then the police decided to leave the whole thing alone.
Oh,
and they didn't
no,
even investigate.
Because everyone frowned upon gay... God.
I know.
Because of homophobia, this guy kept going.
So then, September 3rd, 1990, he picked up Ernest Miller... Took him home, had intercourse.
Ernest the Cat Miller? That was a wrestler.
Drugged him, and then changed
Ernest
it up
the Cat
a little
Miller
bit again.
Tore him up.
He didn't strangle Miller. He cut his throat instead.
Had to be a different Ernest Miller.
And then, after he was dead, he slices off his biceps and puts them in the freezer for some reason.
What?
And then, upon taking all the flesh from the bone, decides to keep the entire skeleton this time instead of... Well, so he went from, I'm going to keep just a skull to, I'm going to keep this whole thing.
Well, I got to put the biceps in the freezer.
And that's... Yeah, what is that?
I guess
about?
I'll put this over. I got to put the biceps in the freezer.
So,
what was the internal monologue? Was it like.
I mean, who knows?
Or jack off on a squirrel. I got to put these biceps in the freezer.
So, it was around this time that his neighbors start to complain.
Take a shit on my grandma's.
Because the putrid smell is coming from his apartment.
What was that?
It's around this time his neighbors start to complain that about the smell.
Those neighbors need to mind their own business. God.
So Dahmer tells the landlord his fridge is broken and that's why it smells.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
He says he's gonna,
that's why it smells like Arby's in here.
Yeah. October 1990, Jeff met David Thomas. They were drinking in Dahmer's apartment when Jeff gave him his special drink.
He needs to lay down on the drinking. That's too much drinking.
So Jeff didn't want to kill Thomas for some reason, but he was worried he might be upset if he woke up that Jeff had drugged him. So he decided the best thing to do would be kill him anyway. I don't know. I just didn't want to kill him. Yeah, that's what he said.
One of those guys I didn't want to kill.
Yeah.
Not that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy.
Just this one guy.
The one guy, the one time.
So he says, I better just kill him. So this time he films the whole dismemberment and takes photos of his severed head in various positions in the apartment.
He's probably like,
and this, and Thomas's sister later had to use those photos to identify him. The photos of his head all around
his head, all dismembered.
Isn't that sick?
That's awful.
On February 1891,
here we go. We're in 1991. We're going to take a deep dive.
1991.
He met Curtis Strotter.
Timelines.
Curtis wanted to be a model, so Jeff mentions he's going to pose for pictures again.
Hold on. Who's this on February 18th, 1991?
Curtis Strotter.
So we need to stop and pause so we can all picture what February 18th, 1991 was. The timeline of this is Whitney Houston. All the Man That I Need was on the radio. CNC Music Factory, Gonna Make You Sweat. Everybody Dance Now. Timmy T, One More Try. I Didn't Know How Much.
All right.
I Love You. Mariah Carey, Someday was on. No, this is the timeline. This is the show. The Doors movie was the big movie in the theaters. And this was also Monday night. So Fresh Prince was on. Blossom was on. And the specific Blossom episode that was on that night was Thanks for the Memorex, where Blossom watches home movies. So that's what was going on. All if right. you think back to those things, that's what was happening.
On February 18th, 1991, this is Curtis Strotter. Curtis wanted to be a model, so...
Yeah, this is February 18th.
Jeff says, why don't you come pose for pictures? And so he was strangled while giving Jeff oral sex. Jeffrey kept the skull and painted it to preserve it, and he also decided to keep hands and a penis as well.
This is when he started keeping the hands and the penises.
Yeah. April 7th, 91, he met Errol Lindsay.
April 7th, the top songs were Gloria Estefan's Coming Out of the Dark, London Beat, I've Been Thinking About You, and the top movie was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. And this, April 7th, was 2 weeks after WrestleMania 7 when Sergeant Slaughter defends his title against Hulk Hogan. And Sergeant Slaughter, Amy, just so you know, this was during the Gulf War, mm-hmm. and the WWF like to copy off what was going on, and they made Sergeant Slaughter turn to the Iraqi side, and Hulk Hogan was the real American that fought him, and he won the title back. And right before he pinned Sergeant Slaughter, he rips an Iraqi flag in half.
God, that's so dumb.
And then he wins the belt. And then Alex Trebek was the guest ring announcer. And then this happened April 7th.
And then, yeah, he met Earl Lindsay, and who was 19, at a local bus stop. He was paid to come back to the apartment, offered him a drink, and he accepted.
He was paid?
Yeah. So he was like this prostitute. So then, before you know it, Jeffrey's, you know, going down on a corpse.
How many gay prostitutes are in Wisconsin? You would think Wisconsin.
Not as many as there used to be.
You think it's just a bunch of old, kind of...
Well, Milwaukee's a big city, though.
I know, but I think of all of Wisconsin as just hefty white ladies in sweaters.
Yes, it's pretty much
eating cheese.
Then, on May 24th, 1991, he met Tony Hughes.
May 24th, 1991 was a Friday night, and that was on ABC. It was TGI Friday. Remember that? Full House, Dinosaurs, Perfect Strangers, and Family Matters.
Yep.
They were all reruns because we're in May. It's like Memorial Day weekend probably. And Fox aired a show called World's Greatest Stunts. And the top movie was Hudson Hawk. And the top song was Mariah Carey's I Don't Want to Cry.
Okay. So he meets him at Club 219 again, back to his old club that he likes so much. Hughes was deaf, and so Dahmer wrote his offer on paper and handed it to him, $50 to pose for some pictures and watch some videos. And he takes him back and drugs him and strangles him. And then he leaves the corpse around his bedroom for a few days before dismembering it. So
now he's just getting sloppy.
Yeah.
He's like, just come on, I videotape this shit. I'm leaving stuff everywhere. Why is nobody finding me?
Then on May 27th, do you have that one?
Yep. This was a Monday again, so reruns of all those shows.
This is like 3 days later. Like, he's not taking much of a breath here.
It's just a couple days. Yeah, this is from Friday to Monday. This is the Monday after the weekend that he just started by watching Full House and murdering a guy. This is Monday. Fox had a TV movie called Blood Ties about a vampire family who tries to fit in Long Beach, California.
That sounds awful.
Mariah Carey's I Don't Want to Cry is still number one, but Extremes More Than Words has come up to number two, and Color Me Bad, I Want to Sex You Up was number three.
Such a bad song.
I think it's fair to think that Jeffrey Dahmer was listening to that.
He probably was, So
same date.
May 27th, 1991.
That jogs your memory.
This kid was 14, and he was running for his life, trying to escape this apartment where this creepy blonde guy had slipped him some kind of powerful drug, and he was started to come around just as the guy had left the apartment. He escaped. It took all his strength he had to get up and get to the door. He was so disoriented and panicked. He was completely naked. He didn't even care. So this was his only chance to survive. So he was just before 2 a.m. And so he's out wandering on the street.
So he struggles with Jeffrey first?
No, Jeffrey left the apartment where he woke up.
Sorry,
So he's like stumbling around the neighborhood. This woman, Sandra Smith, calls 911 to report him running around naked. She didn't know who he was, but she knew he was injured and scared. And
naked.
The paramedics
naked
get
and
there.
Afraid.
Yep. The paramedics get there, put a blanket around him. Two police officers arrive and try to understand what's going on with them.
Just blanket. What's going on? Tell me about it. Tell me about a naked guy.
So the woman who called the police were standing near the boy when the police arrived. And then the tall blonde man
911, what's your
up.
Emergency? There's a naked guy running around. I think
so. Jeffrey comes back home while this is going on.
Oh, and all the police are
comes
there?
Up, yeah, and he comes up and...
I guess you're in my house.
He says, no, he's my boyfriend. He's just really drunk. And the ladies were getting mad because they thought, no, something's wrong. And then Conorick was just too drugged. He couldn't say anything. He wasn't able to contradict the guy. Dahmer gave the police a picture ID. And the two young women, they kept trying to intervene because they had seen the man trying to resist him before the police arrived. They were angry and upset. The police were ignoring him and listening to the white man instead.
Of course.
Yep.
White man was right.
And so just to be on the safe side, the two officers went with the boy and the man back to his apartment. The apartment smelled bad, but it was also very neat. And Conorick's clothes were folded and placed on the sofa. And there was a couple of photos of him in black bikini briefs. So Conorick sat quietly on the sofa, still unable to talk. It's not even clear he understood the explanation that that Dahmer was giving to the police. He was apologizing that his lover had caused a disturbance and promised it wouldn't happen again.
Oh, no.
And the police believed him. They had no reason not to. He's well-spoken, intelligent, calm.
Pretty fly for a white guy.
And the Asian kid was apparently drunk and incoherent. And they thought, we're not going to get in the middle of this lover's quarrel. So they left.
And they were probably like, these gay dudes, we don't know about them.
So they left the apartment with him sitting still quietly on the sofa.
What a horrible world we live in.
They just thought there were more pressing things for them to do than get involved in this lover's quarrel.
Oh.
So that was the end of him.
Then on Wisconsin.
June 30th.
That's why I don't like the Packers.
Yep.
Is all this.
On June 30th, 1991, he goes to Chicago for the Gay Pride Day.
Ooh, Pride.
While at the bus depot.
But it was not nearly as good in 1991 as it is now.
Well, at the bus depot, he met Matt Turner, another guy who wanted to be a model.
I've been to that bus depot.
He talked him into coming back to Milwaukee with him. So he pays for Greyhound bus tickets for both of them, and they soon go.
I've been on that Greyhound bus.
Once they get to his apartment, same thing. Drugs him and strangles him, cuts off his head, wraps it in a plastic bag, puts it in the freezer.
Wait a minute, what happened to his lover, the Asian guy?
Well, he killed him. I mean,
he did.
Yeah, the police left him there.
Yeah, but then he died too. We know that for sure.
Oh yeah,
he's one of the victims.
Oh yeah,
he never got away.
So then on July 4th, 91, he decides to go back to Chicago, and while he's there, he meets Jeremiah Weinberger.
This is just 1 year after Eileen Wuornos was having that awesome 4th of July
last
year. Yeah,
that's right. And this guy was 23. And he even asked his roommate what he thought of Jeffrey, and the roommate was like, "He seems all right, whatever." So Jeremiah decides to go back to Milwaukee with Jeff again, pays for the Greyhound bus tickets. Once they get there, they have sex, and Jeremiah spends the night. But when he got sick of having sex with Jeff, he said he was going to go home. Jeff said, fine, then offered him a farewell drink, which was drugged. And then he strangled him, and he was one of the heads found in the freezer. On July 12th, 1991, he meets Oliver Lacey, who's 23. They go back to Jeffrey's apartment, have a drink, fool around. Jeffrey strangles him. Then, for the first time, he decides to get into more necrophilic acts.
I thought he already did that.
Well, he was doing oral sex with the bodies before, and now he decides to go full on.
Wait, he was sucking them off while they're
dead?
Yes. But you can't.
Yes. I don't know. I don't want to think about that. So then he.
This is where it stops for me. Everything else makes sense, but why are you blowing a dead guy?
I don't know.
It can't blow you.
No, that's right.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Everybody else is fine. No. Putting the dead head in the freezer is fine, but blowing it?
No, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not going to think about that right now. So then he slices off the right bicep and ate it, and that was the first time he cannibalized.
Oh, that's when he first started. Oh, he wasn't eating him before this?
No.
Oh.
One
time I saw a piece of graffiti that said, Dave S. blows dead bears.
Maybe that's true.
You can't blow dead bears.
He placed his head in the fridge next to an open box of Arm & Hammer baking soda.
Well, that'll help clean.
That's right. And his heart in the freezer to eat later. Oh, and he also put other body parts in the freezer and the rest of it in the trash.
I guess I thought he was eating this stuff all along.
He kept
the
entire skeleton. And it was at this time that he was suspended from his job at the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory. I forgot to tell you, he worked at a chocolate factory.
All this time
he
worked at
a
chocolate factory?
So if you've eaten Ambrosia chocolate in the 90s.
Jeffrey, we're going to have to just cut ties with you. It's the penises you keep putting and the biceps you keep putting in the
chocolate. And let's just hope that Ambrosia.
Chocolate.
What if we ate that chocolate?
I love chocolate.
In the 90s, Ambrosia chocolate. What if we ate it and he had touched it?
It's generally frowned upon to put human biceps in a chocolate.
That's what you think.
Stop bringing in penises and juggling them and putting them in a chocolate. It's frowned upon, Stephen.
That's
we're going
right.
to have to let
you
go. I'll be Jeffrey.
So he had spent too many days off work at home, so he got real mad when he got fired.
That's what he got fired for? Not coming into work?
Yes.
Not for anything?
They didn't know anything else.
Not for killing a bunch of gay dudes?
So then on July 19th, 1991, he meets Joseph Braidhoft at a local bus stop.
Okay, this is the guy that's going to save the day.
No,
Joseph Braidhoft. No?
It's not. He meets him. It was pouring down rain.
Come on, Joe.
And
take care of things.
He had a six-pack of beer on him, so they decided to go back to Jeff's to party. Once there, they had oral sex, then Dahmer drugs and strangles him, sleeps with the body for the next few days until the head became infested with maggots.
Oh, so he banged it until the maggots. Huh?
Yes.
Now, he decided not to freeze this one.
He cleans it and puts it in the freezer with the heads of the other two guys that are in there. And
he must have really liked to bang that dead guy.
I guess. He placed the torso in a 57-gallon barrel in the bedroom. At this point, he seems to have very little control and care very little, and he starts getting sloppy.
You think something's maybe wrong with him, Jeffrey Dahmer? This doesn't seem like normal behavior to me.
No, I think there's something wrong with him. Okay, so now we are to our final victim that I started the top of the hour
with. Oh, see, I thought the last guy was the...
No, Tracy Edwards. Tracy Edwards.
Tracy Edwards.
So Tracy Edwards was the story at the top, and that is how he got caught. So his bail was originally set at $1 million.
What date was this?
July 22nd, 1991.
Oh, July 22nd, 1991.
They set his bail for $1 million. And then on August 6th, it was raised to $5 million when 8 more murder charges were added. In the end, he had 15 murder charges against him. The longest sentence he muttered at any of the preliminary hearings was, "I understand, Your Honor," when the judge asked if he understood the charges. On July 13th, 92, he ignored his lawyer's advice and changed his plea to guilty, but that he was insane. And according to the Milwaukee, Don Davis and the Milwaukee Murders, which is a book, the declaration turned the case on its head. Now, instead of having to prove his man did not commit the murders, the defense attorneys would unroll one of the goriest tapestries ever seen in an American courtroom. His task was to convince the jury that Dahmer was crazy because only an insane person would do the things he did. Two detectives took turns reading the 160-page confession. It was a catalog of sexual perversions. Detective Dennis Murphy stated that Dahmer felt a tremendous amount of guilt because of his actions. He felt thoroughly evil. Then he quoted from Dahmer's own confession. "It's hard for me to believe that a human being could have done what I've done, but I know that I did." He claimed that his fear of being caught was overwhelmed by his excitement of being completely in control.
"It's hard to believe that a human being could do what I've done."
The battle of psychiatrists over whether he was legally responsible and able to control himself seemed to confuse the jury. The attorney drew a chart for the jury, which he read them off quickly. Skulls in locker, cannibalism, sexual urges, drilling, making
testicles,
zombies, necrophilia, drinking
biceps,
alcohol, trying to create a shrine,
keeping
lobotomies,
penises,
defleshing, calling taxidermists, going to graveyards,
banging a dead body until maggots,
masturbating. That's the last one he says.
Not creating picture pages. Masturbating?
Yeah, he says masturbating. The last
also,
of all
masturbation
of those
is just the same as all of this.
This is Jeffrey Dahmer, a runaway train on a track of madness.
Not creating picture pages.
And then the prosecutor rebutted. He wasn't a runaway train. He was the engineer. He was satisfying his extraordinary sexual cravings. "Ladies and gentlemen, he's fooled a lot of people. Please don't let this murderous killer fool you."
He is white, so...
Yeah, the jury deliberated for 5 hours, decided he did not deserve to spend the rest of his life in a hospital, but in a prison cell.
Boom.
On all 15 counts, he was guilty. He wrote an apology to the judge, covering a 13-year bloodbath. He said, "Your Honor, it is now over. This has never been a case of trying to get free. I don't even want freedom. Frankly, I wanted death for myself. This was a case to tell the world that I did what I did, but not for the reasons of hate. I hated no one. I knew I was sick or evil or both. Now I believe I was sick. The doctors have told me about my sickness, and now I have some peace. I know how much harm I have caused. Thank God there will be no more harm that I can do. I believe that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save me from my sins. I ask for no consideration." He was sentenced to 15 consecutive life terms.
All of this while "Summertime" was the number 5 song on the radio by Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince.
He adjusted very well to prison life at the Columbia Correctional Institute in Portage, Wisconsin.
He's probably better there than he was anywhere else.
Well,
right?
Initially he wasn't part of the general population of the prison because that would have jeopardized his safety.
Can't put him in Gen Pop.
As it was, he was...
I saw Orange is the New Black. He would have been toast.
Yeah. As it was, he was attacked July 3rd, 94 while attending a chapel service by a Cuban who he had never seen before. While in prison, he was sued twice for $3 billion, and even though he had no money at all, he was a model prisoner.
Yeah.
And he convinced the prison authorities to allow him more contact with other inmates.
Okay.
He was able to eat in communal areas, and he was given some janitorial work to do with other teams of inmates. Then, on the morning of November 28, 94, he was working bathroom cleanup detail, paired up with two highly dangerous men, Jesse Anderson, a white man who had murdered his wife and blamed it on a black man. And
they all fucking do that.
Christopher Scarver, a black delusional schizophrenic who thought that he was the son of God, who was in prison for first-degree murder. So it's not difficult to imagine how Scarver views Dahmer, who's butchered all these black men, and Anderson. It was a disastrous combination. So 20 minutes after they started, a prison guard came by to check on them and found Dahmer lying face down in a pool of blood with his head bashed in.
Wait, what were they doing together?
They were cleaning the bathroom.
Cleaning bathrooms.
The other white inmate was lying in a pool of blood in one of the showers. So upon arriving at the hospital, Dahmer was pronounced dead.
So this black dude killed both of them?
Mm-hmm.
Good for him!
Jesse Anderson died shortly after from having his head bashed against the floor and walls repeatedly. They compared his injuries to those of a car accident. Man. Scarver claimed, God told me to do it. At any rate,
he probably did, man.
He received another life sentence for his actions. Jeffrey was cremated, and his parents, who are divorced, each received half of his remains after a court battle over his ashes.
We probably have the son of God in prison.
So his parents had a court battle over his ashes, and they each received half of his ashes.
Jeffrey Dahmer's?
Yeah.
What do they want him for?
I don't know.
To probably murder them, to probably eat them.
Yep. So that's the life and times of Mr. Jeffrey Lionel Dahmer.
And that was 1991, folks.
Yeah, I remember when I heard about that. I was fascinated. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I know. You've mentioned it every day of our marriage. Jeffrey Dahmer this, Jeffrey Dahmer that.
That's not true.
My wife loves murders and murderers.
So this has gone on long enough.
Yeah, all I need to do is splice in some what happened in wrestling in 1991.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to hit the can. This has been another episode of American Timelines.
American Timelines. And we thank you. And this is Grover Cleveland Steamer.
And Amy. And that was Joe.
God damn it. Signing off.
Kevin Costner's love, and no other could give more love. There's nowhere unless you're there all the time, all the way. Yeah, God, that song sucks.